to the Spirituality of Loss series, episode 3. I am Adekunle Joshua Olambionu, and I'm very excited to be talking to you today. In the past two episodes, we've done an introduction into the spirituality of laws. We've looked at the law of the spirit of life and the law of sin and death. Yesterday, we looked at the law of love, specifically agape, as a law that has been laid down for believers. Now, you will notice that we're starting from laws that matters to the existence of beings. First and foremost, it is important that we mention here that the two laws we talked about, the law of the spirit of life and the law of love, for example, they are laws that can only be applied, or they are laws that can only be practiced. Yeah, that's what I prefer. They can only be practiced by believers in Christ Jesus. When we say believers in Christ Jesus, we mean people that are born again. When we say born again, now we mean recreated spirits, people that are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. All right, so these are the only kind of people that can live by that law. Okay, so these are the only kinds of people that are alive, and so they can live by that law. It is important to understand this, that dead people, yes, emphasis on dead now, dead people can't live by those laws. And one such law is the abundant life law. The abundant life law. This is the law we're talking about today. The abundant life law. Now, it's very important for us to understand something, that scarcity is a general problem. Scarcity is a general problem. I have a degree in economics and education, and I can tell you for free, the scarcity has formed the basis for most of the theories that have to do with finances and advancing in the world we have today. Scarcity, the word scarcity. But in reality, I have learned from study and from observation, and in reality, I have discovered that there is no such thing as scarcity. In reality, there is no such thing as scarcity, especially in terms of resources. What we do have is a lack of understanding, one, and two, a lack of recognizability. I repeat, scarcity is not the real problem. The real problem is a lack of understanding and a lack of recognizability. The reason there is scarcity in the world is because men are unable to replenish the things that they do, that they use. Now, the truth is that human wants are insatiable. That is very true. Now, but human needs are very little. Praise the Lord. Human wants may be insatiable. This is true. But that is the flesh, that is the desires of the flesh, all right? The needs of the man are very little. The needs of the man are very little. And so many times we can tell the difference between our needs and our wants. And this is why, you know, sometimes when I listen to Solomon's ranting about vanity and all, I just laugh. This was a man that had it all. And he said, all is vanity. I want to get it down. So it's so important for us to understand this. Scarcity is a fact, not the truth. It exists because men are taught to believe that it does exist. In the beginning of things, it was not so. Praise the Lord. This will take us to the beginning of things. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth fruit. That is when God was creating the world as it is. He said, let the earth bring forth fruit, bring forth grass rather, the herb yielding seed. Look at this. The grass yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed it is in itself, and on the head, and it was so. And the herb brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. In the beginning, God created all things and created a system for multiplication for those things. Now, we know that a seed is the smallest particle of a fruit and also carries the reproductive power of the fruit. So the seed is able to recreate the fruit, the entire fruit itself. Now imagine this, if God created grass, if he paid so much attention to grass in such a way that grass should reproduce itself, how much more other resources? So in the beginning of things, God created all things to have a system of replenishment when they are consumed, even before they are consumed. So God embedded multiplication into everything that he created. But there are two things that are important to the multiplication of things. Two things. The first thing is the seed. The seed carries the power to reproduce things. The seed carries the power to reproduce things. And of course, the second thing is the process. Now, the seed, we have to go through a process in order for it to reproduce the fruit. I want to get it now. The seed has to go through a process in order for it to reproduce the fruit. So the system of multiplication requires the seed, okay, and it requires a process. God's system for multiplication requires the seed and also requires the process of multiplication. Now we know the story, man fell, blah, 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 blah. The fact that man fell, praise the Lord, does not change the multiplication system of God. The fall of man only introduced man to scarcity. Praise the Lord. It is important that we understand this, that the fall of man only introduced man to scarcity. It didn't change the multiplication system, or say the abundance system of God. It's important that we understand this. He created the system from the inception of the world, and that system applies to everything. This is why you should pay attention to things. You see, Genesis chapter 1 and verse, the story of creation generally, it's very important for us because it's not just the story of creation of things, it is also the story of creation of basic systems that even God himself adhered to now. When God wanted to create man, dead or alive, he put man in charge. Though the man he put in charge was alive. I want to get it now. He put man in charge of the world. Now, whenever God needed to do something in the world, okay, he would need a man. It does not matter whether men are dead or not. He would need a man to make it happen. Because he has created the system that without men, things don't happen in the world. And this is why I pity people who lack an understanding of how to treat men. Please, by all means, honor God. By all means, honor God. Please God, love God with all of your being. And by all means, honor men who deserve honor. Because without men, this is the truth. This is a basic system initiated by God himself. Without men, things wouldn't happen in the world. God partners with men. Satan partners with men. Man is a key element in the oppression of the world. Praise the Lord. So God created systems when he created things. Systems by which they would run. Systems that he himself adhered to. So as an individual that is seeking to maximize the quality of his life, you must understand that living by the systems of God is as important as anything you would do on earth. Hallelujah. So one of the systems that God put in place for the abundance life, for creating abundance, are we together? is in the process of seed, I mean, is in seed and, you know, time. Now, so men became introduced to scarcity. They began to desire things that are beyond their immediate abilities to produce. They began to desire things that could be theirs in a matter of time, but they began to desire it now. I discovered that the wants of men answers to their understanding. Hallelujah. The kind of wants that you have is determined by the kind of understanding that you have. Hallelujah. Your wants and your needs are determined by the kind of knowledge and understanding that you have. So what one man has that is content with is what another man has and feels he has too little and thinks of himself as a failure. Praise the Lord. Our wants and our needs answers to our understanding. Now, the word understanding is vast. It's very vast. Because there are levels to understanding, and there is a spiritual understanding, and that's what the Bible calls a particular, you know, the Bible refers to wisdom as all wisdom in Colossians 1 and verse 9. That word. Praise the Lord. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, there is a repeat of the same system being pronounced by God. Now, God told Noah after the flood that while the earth remains, that is, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. This is to tell you that this is a system. And we're going to see how even God himself was not forced, so to say, how God himself had to adhere by this system. I want to get it now. Now, see, many times we see day and night every day, okay? We see cold and heat every year. We see summer and winter every year. I want to get it now. In fact, in agriculture, we see seed time and harvest every year. But we do not realize that this has a direct implication beyond agriculture into the very essence of our lives. You might want to ask yourself that if man fell, why did it take God 5,500 years before the Lord Jesus came into the world? Because of the word seed time. There is a set time for planting. Are we together now? And there is a set time for harvest. So when it was time, God gave his son as a seed. Are we together now? John chapter 3 and verse 16, we're familiar with the word. The scripture is a very popular scripture. For God so loved the world. God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What we didn't realize, that in John chapter 16, was displaying God not just as a lover, but also as a farmer. John 3:16 displayed God not just as a lover, but also as a farmer. John chapter 15 and verse 1, Jesus said, I am the vine. He said, I am the true vine. I want to get it now. And my Father is the husbandman. That is, I am the vine. And my Father is the husbandman. So in other words, I am the vine, a tree that is planted. And my Father, that is God, is the farmer. So that is to say, in God giving the Lord Jesus to die for us, that was a seed time. So God sowed into the world that he may harvest the vine and all of the branches of the vine along with the fruits of the branches of the vine. Now, if God did not sow the Lord Jesus, he wouldn't be able to harvest you and me as believers in Christ today. So if God himself couldn't bypass this system of abundance, God had one son and he wanted to multiply the number of sons that he has. And he has identified men living in the world as candidates that can fit into this role. So he sold his son that he may harvest all of us. If God had to adhere to this system of the earth, listen to this, you are not exempted from living by it. Now, this system has been called many things. Praise the Lord. It has been called many things. It has been called karma. It has been called, you know, different names. It has been called delayed gratification. It has been called many times in English. Men have tried their best to understand seed time and harvest, and have tried philosophers have tried their best to inculcate it into their thought processes, into their, you know, ideologies, to get people to understand that there is a time you must sacrifice and there is a time that you will receive. There is a time that you must sacrifice and there is a time that you are bound to receive. You know, that is why they say, for God is number, whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. I want to get it now. So even men understood this, but we don't know how to really apply it in the area of abundance. Hallelujah. So the law, it is a system. The law of abundance life. I mean, the law of abundant life, you can call it the system of abundant life. It is a system. Now, why is this system inoperable for men before now? Because they were dead. Because man has fell short of the glory of God. He didn't just fall short of the glory of God. He fell short of the requirement to have dominion in the world. When Adam fell, he gave the authority away to Satan that day. And from that day, Satan had the opportunity to alter the operation of the systems of the world in the lives of men. How are we together now? He had the opportunity. He could practically hinder harvest. He could practically hinder harvest in the life of men. So there are men that have sold in good faith. I mean, not because they were believers. Natural men have sold and then they didn't receive harvest in their lifetime. And this kind of things, this kind of delays that Satan has caused in the past has made men to lose understanding of this abundant life law. It's a tactic from the devil to turn your attention away from the system itself, okay, by causing delays. Now, what qualifies a man now as a believer? I mean, what qualifies a man to operate this system effectively without any delay of any kind is that that man must be a man that has dominion on earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That man must be a man that has dominion on the earth. So what qualifies you to operate the abundant life law effectively? Listen to this. There are men that can operate the abundant life law now. Okay, they can operate it. All men can operate the abundant life law. But for some men, it will not be effective because they have no dominion or power to stop the, you know, to stop Satan from hindering their harvest. But for men, what qualifies men to operate the abundant life law effectively is that they are alive, is the life that is in them. Or put in another statement, put in another way, the kingdom of God, that is what qualifies men, the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what qualifies men.
Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the reason I came is so that they may have life. Listen to this. The reason I came is so that they may have life. First and foremost, that they may have life. Now, the thief, that is Satan, has stolen, he has killed, he has destroyed. He stole the authority away from man in that day when, you know, man enslaved himself, so to say. He killed the man. Adam became dead. Man became dead. And he has destroyed. He has destroyed the works that are in the world. He has destroyed the world. He has destroyed the lives of men. And then Jesus said, looking at the destruction, I came that first and foremost, you may have life. Praise the Lord. It's important that you understand this, that I came first and foremost that you may have life. That when you now have life, you may be able to replenish all that Satan has destroyed. Now, what this means for you as a believer is that whatever Satan has done for you before you became a born-again believer can be replenished. Now, this is not God replenishing it now, because you are the one that has life. Listen to this. You are the one that has life, and you are the one to multiply it. So you can replenish all that Satan has done. When we say replenish now, we do not mean that you have to now start looking for ways to get it done. You can stand on your feet right now. This is a digression, but very important for you. You can stand on your feet right now and demand for the replenishment of all that you have lost, okay, before you receive the Lord Jesus. It can happen to you. In fact, the Bible says that if a thief be found, okay, he must pay back 7 times what he has stolen. Are we together now? That was a digression. So Jesus said, I came that you may have life, and that you might have the life abundantly. And that you might have the life abundantly. That the reason I came specifically is that you may have life and be able to live the abundant life. So Jesus has come, he has empowered you with the life, and he has given you a responsibility to multiply the life. Now in John chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, in the Lord Jesus was life, and the life was the light of man. Now, the life would not be the light of man if it is not being multiplied. I mean, the life would become the lives of limited number of men if it is not being multiplied. Praise the Lord. So, understand this now. Everything begins with a seed. Everything. Everything. So from the day you receive the life of God, listen to this, you have also received what is called the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 17 and 20, Jesus said, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So from the day you receive the Lord Jesus, from the day you receive the life, that is the light of man, you have received the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. It's very important that you understand this. You have received the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The same kingdom that he talked about in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3, when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he says, every other thing shall be added. That you're going to live a life of abundance when you seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. Now, listen to this. This same kingdom of God that is in you, that is the qualification to live the abundant life, is that you must have the kingdom of God. We've said this before. The qualification for operating the law of abundant life, is that you must have the kingdom of God in you. Now, what is the law of abundant life? We're going to see soon. Now, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 to 27, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. Listen to this. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. Not so is the kingdom of heaven. No. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The kingdom of God is like a man should cast seed into the ground. And the man should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grows up, and he knows not how. A man should cast seed into the ground. So the abundant life that he talked about in, you know, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, that is the life of multiplication, is like a man should cast seed into the ground. Now listen to this. The abundant life is simply the life of multiplying what you have. Now listen to this. Every kind of results can be multiplied. Miracles can be multiplied. Healings can be multiplied. The joy of salvation can be multiplied. The money in your hands can be multiplied. The resources you have in your hands can be multiplied. The number of the days that you are going to live on earth can be multiplied. Everything can be in abundance. I mean, you can have time in abundance. No, you may not have beyond 24 hours per day, listen to this, but you are going to have enough time to accomplish all that you have set out to accomplish as given unto you by God. It is possible. So when you sit, the devil doesn't want you to understand this, that when you sit in this place of understanding that everything can be multiplied, you become a direct threat to the kingdom of darkness instantly from that day. Because from that day forward, you begin to sow not just everything in your hands, even your life as a seed. Look at this. If Satan would have done everything possible to stop the seed of God from germinating, that is the Lord Jesus, but he did, he literally was sown as seed, he was buried. The same way seeds are being buried. He was buried and he rose. And by the time he rose up, few years later, there were thousands of him walking the earth. So if you can learn, listen to this, this is the abundant life that you learn to multiply what is with you. How? By sowing it. See, God has streamlined, see, every other means of giving, the tithing, the giving, the offerings, all of them are, you know, infused into seed. They are all seeds. They are all seeds. The tithe is a seed. A seed that has a specific harvest. So every time you give tithe, you should expect a specific harvest. And what is the harvest? A blessing that your current barn cannot take. So if you are not receiving a blessing that your current barn cannot take, it's because you have been ignorant of it. So you don't just pay your tithe. After you have given your tithe, you must understand that it is a seed and the harvest must come. After you have given to other people, you must understand that it is a seed and you must receive in return. This is not you being greedy. This is the system of God for multiplication. After you have sown your time into the lives of other people, you should understand that it is a seed and you should have harvest in mind that you expect. So many times, the problem with us is that we sow many times, but we do not sow from a place of understanding. And so we do not expect any harvest. So consciously sow what is in your hands and you will receive it back in hundredfold. Sow your time, sow your life, sow your finances. So when, even at the midst of things, when things are tough for you and you find it difficult to give, I want to get it now, and things are very tough and you are about to sow, you will be happy to sow because you know that it's going to multiply. I give you a practical example. This is a testimony that happened to me just 2 weeks ago. On the Sunday, just a few minutes before our usual meeting, I broke my phone. I mean, my phone fell from my hand and then it broke. Now, it got broken. I wasn't worried. I went ahead and did the meeting anyway with another person's phone. And for the next 3 days, I was phoneless. I was having our meetings run through the registrar. Everything was going on, properly. Everything was going on properly. I will get it now. Then on the fourth day, on the top day, I had some amount of money, just about 5,000 there. And I decided, I have a pending title clear. So I paid all of the 5,000 there to clear my title. All of the 5,000 there. Now, I didn't have any money anywhere or any hope of getting any money anywhere either. My hope of getting money anywhere is on God. So I didn't have any expectations from anybody or from anywhere to get the money. Now, and I was not asking for help from anybody. And I needed my phone that same week. So I sold all of the money with me as tithe. And I told God, this is all I have on me. And I bless your holy name with it. And I gave it out as tithe. Now, a few days later, I went to check the place where they would fix the phone. They said it's going to cost me around 19,000. That's four times the amount I sold as tithe. And guess what? Before the next morning, I had received 20,000 naira without asking money from people. I practically received the amount of money that I needed to repair the phone and extra. Between a matter of hours, I sold. That's the first time, I've been honest with you, that is the first time I sold my tithe. I've been giving tithe for a long time, but that is the first time I sold my tithe as a seed. And I had an expectation of an harvest. And yes, it worked like magic, because in a few hours, I had tithe fall back. So you can consciously learn to sow your seeds. That way, when you see people to help, when your people come to you for help, you don't see the money you want to give to them. You don't see the things you want to give them to them as a burden. You see it all as a seed. Everything that has been given to you, they are seeds and they are bread. The problem is that most of the time, we eat the seed along with the bread. And every time we eat the seed along with the bread, we are preparing for a time of harvest of nothingness. So the law of abundant life is in sowing and harvesting. Now, listen to this. The process between sowing and harvest is not always long. Though God waited 5,500 years plus before he sowed the Lord Jesus, he didn't have to wait too long before his harvest began. Though I sowed just a few days prior, I didn't have to wait for more than 3 days before the harvest began. Sometimes your harvest may take 3 years. Sometimes your harvest may take 2 days. Sometimes your harvest may come back in a matter of hours. I had a small boy. He taught me something, just like a young brother. He taught me something very important last year. So I had an amount of money with me. He had an amount of money with him. And I needed to get something. I needed to get a drink. And the money I had on me was not enough. And so he said, "This is all I have on me, Pastor. I'm giving it to you as a seed." I went to get it now. He said, "This is all I have on me, Pastor. I think about 300 naira, and he gave it to me as a seed." And I said, "Oh, thank you. Now, can you get me the drink?" Now, before he came back from where he got the drink, as he was coming back, another person called him and gave him 1,000 naira. You know what he did? He instantly sold the 1,000 naira again. And said, he said, "This is wonderful. I just sold 300 naira right now, and I'm receiving 1,000. And so he sold the 1,000 naira again. I said, "Pastor, you are the one I gave the 300 naira the other time. I'm giving you this 1,000 naira again as a seed." Now, he didn't come back to tell me how much he received. But I know that he did receive an harvest. You can sow. Am I saying sow everything in your hands? No, listen to this. Let the earth yield forth fruits that the seed is inside. So everything that comes to you, all resources that are bound to you, they are bread and they are seed. In your time, they are bread and they are seed. In your finances, they are bread and they are seed. I want to get it now. In your resources, they are bread and they are seeds. There are things for you to consume and there are things for you to sow. Do not eat the seed along with the bread. If you fail to sow, you cannot operate the abundant life. Now, if you have been sowing, listen to this, if you have been sowing in the past and you have not been receiving harvest, you can stand on your feet this morning and demand, I'm not saying claim, demand for your all of your due harvest to come to you in the name of Jesus. Because if your harvest is not coming to you, you should understand that it is Satan that is blocking it. But as a carrier of the life of God and an ambassador of the Lord Jesus, okay, you can stand on your two feet and demand now. You can demand even now. So when you demand for it, have an expectation of the harvest that is to come, and the harvest shall come in the name of Jesus. This is the law of the abundant life. This is the law of the multiplication. This is the law of the abundant life, so that you may harvest. I pray for you in the name of Jesus, even as you begin to sow now, that nothing shall hinder your harvest in the name of Jesus. God bless you. I am Adekunle Joshua Olambiwon, and this is the School of Prosperity and Influence. God bless you.